We sell stuff, these people have started good work, and they have this information, and all that is needed to be able is for the department to come closer with them, because the research that is being done will assist you as a department, so that you are able to know the impact. This thing that we've been asking the department about, like, what's the impact of this activity, what's the impact of the national games, the impact of the festivals, all that stuff. And they seem to have answers to that. And you are saying, no, you need to set a press to get new people to come in and start afresh, is basically taking a few steps backward. This is what we tell, this is what the honorable members tell to that thing. I hope you did get that support. And we were saying that we will ask you in the meeting today about what is the actual position on the observation, because what we learned last week was the filter, we don't think this is what is sufficient. That we hear from you. Honorable members, let's move this in. Are there any apologies?
Good morning, everyone. Shall we have an apology from Dr. Gabriel Zuma, who has a long-standing engagement and she could not avoid. We also have an apology from Dagmar Kwanda, from Amusole, who was also on TV today, and Dr. Kwanda. Thank you.
Can I thank you very much. Those are the apologies. Can we have someone else that you want? Honorable Makosi proposes. Honorable Zilankulu seconds. Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. We have an agenda in front of us that is going to look at the matters arising in the issue of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And this is the area that I think the department needs to give us information in, because we've been saying this since we came in 2014, that consequence management is one thing that the department has been found wanting. And this is what even the AG was saying. So we really need to look at this, and there is a document that we have received, and we have asked for more information, and I have been told by the AG that the information is available as they present. They are going to ensure that we get the information. And we're doing this because it's part of our oversight. And we want, at the end of 2019, the department to be in a better footing than it is. I am now, without wasting time, welcome all of the members. Give over to the DG to present on the matters arising, and just for the DG to give us information on when they're putting the matter with South African Roses to end, because I think telling us what exactly the department is doing to ensure that this thing comes to an end. As the National Assembly, we are doing as much as we can as well. Like, we've handed over this thing to the legal union for them to address the issue. But as I'm speaking, as I said earlier, that the issue of how you are doing, how you are funding, how you are working with other organizations is the main issue. Because as we look same entity, we find that we are doing the same thing with them that you say you can't do with SA Aerospace. So if you can explain that. Over to you.
So good morning, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Professor Alzheimer. Let me first tell Honorable Chair, send apologies for my son. CDG and Philip Collins and for the kids that she didn't have out. And also, CDG and Lisa for taking the best to control the test process. Those are the two of us. But the apprentices are here to do their best. So we went there with Mr. Dina Utami and Mr. Nathan Amita, which are the two sophisticated. And we are indeed, there is a lot of work to be done in the economic level. But we also saw that there are quite a few things much of the curricular content was different. These were exploratory research institutions that will inform our discussions and our needs. The purpose is mainly to look at a separate honorable chair for each call and the challenge we have brought with the public contact because there the issues relating to transcription nature of things that are speaking and maybe one process number 64 and so on. And therefore we need to see what parameters of it, parameters of it. But substantively, there are two things that we all
demonstrate we have very strong achievement target. We fully commit to the target. We have gone through the administration for the new year, but also the healthiest assessment we have looked at. And the most important thing is when it comes to us, as an online region, we push targets ourselves with our still most essential because we are less confident and not much to handle. So we will wait for the government and continue as a community. Those targets identified will then be monitored for our expenses and investments on bi-weekly to see that all efforts in the inspection framework to achieve those targets have been achieved. So it will not be the first target that we are going for the end of the year. So the select process to monitor those targets. So, the white papers, we have met the Master Chair and both of the Master Chair and the Vice Principal. And there will be a meeting in the new health management project and DBG and Community to invite the Department of Health Staff Council to us. We are waiting for the Department of Health to start passing. I have instructed all the observers and members to give me a timeline of the staff conference by the process of it. So I don't need to be able to check the first and what meetings they are coming to. So that we can know what we can do at the time. After I was advised that the general had moved the staff. But I did meet with my office principal and presented on the issue of the intent assessment. Working with the Department of Health Services to monitor the evolution.
Chair, with all due respect, I'm not sure if the DG is talking to you or to all of us. I would like him to get the mic so that we can also, if this has to be getting a moment of the best of all of this.
I will try to project the voice So on that issue, I'm not sure before I go directly to the matter, just on the matter that has been led by the chairperson and then for the benefit of the chairperson and the committee. I would like to just follow up.
And then the social economic impact assessment is underway with the Council of Regulatory. And what they've done now is that they submitted the second report to the PME. On Tuesday next week, they want government departments, including us, to meet regarding the assessment. But what the PME wants to establish is how are we going to work as government departments, who's going to be responsible for what part in the writing, and also the budget part of that. So they want different departments to meet so that they can close the gap, and from there then what we're projecting is that by the end of November we should get a report from them. What they still need to do is to give us their input, and we need to work on them and send back before they give us the certificate, which will then be submitted for cabinet, parliamentary processes. But the plan is that by the end of the financial year, we should have submitted. That is the plan from the department. And working closely with the PME, because everything now depends on them to issue us with their certificate. But we can't get it until we finish everything, or we give them all the information that is required. The first draft is also out from the reference panel. They've incorporated all the inputs from everyone. And that first draft with the final report, they've been submitted to the PME. So now we just need to put the PME to finalize the process.
Looking at the
process,
do you feel that this period between now and the end of the financial year is sufficient? Do you, need to look at the ways that has to be done and give us, you know, an estimation that's reasonable. So that we don't come back to you and say, no, because there was a lot of work still to be done, we can't do it. Because we are tired, yes. We are tired of the treating the voters, treating the voters. As a committee, we can't stand it.
Thanks, Chair. I think just taking the advice from the DG that that was what we're saying, but what we'll do is detain all the steps up to their submission and then we can submit them.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank
you very much, Honorable Chair. Then we move then to the agenda item number one on the letter of arrival. The first matter was in relation to the update on public sector report on SARS. And we would like to report that the notice of motion was finalized and the phone has done some tests for to report the review of the application of the public sector second item was the exact breakdown of the amount spent on Africa Day for the past 3 years. We then have done that breakdown. Firstly, Honorable Chair, it's just to indicate that these slides as I'm presenting are firstly the old slides about each area where the money was spent. We then subsequently did go to drill down on what is in the particularly the bigger amounts of 34 million, 21 million, which we can show just before we step off the item. So I request that I just indicate first the bold figures for each of the days. So on the Africa month for 2015, then there was what we call Africa month sector-wide projects. These projects were 40, covering various genre or disciplines of arts, and that cost the department 34.577 million rand. Then there was a marketing and stakeholder engagement, which cost 21,610,000 rand. This included the media activations and support for events around the country, including partnership with the mainstream as well as community media. Then there were colloquia, which were public conversations and dialogues around what Africa Month, Africa Day is about, and that cost 5.8 million. So the total is at 61.9 million for the year 2015. Then for the year 2016, there was a increase in the participation of the different programs. There was a launch of Africa Month in partnership with the KZN Prayer event, and the activation event for that was cost the department 100,000 rand. And then the communications and marketing, which includes 200,000 South African and AU handheld flag distribution, cost 6 million rand. The Africa Month parade or carnival, and a vibrant and colorful cultural parade of diverse groups that took place at a cost of 1.5. Then the conversations under the program colloquia was at 5.1 million rand. And then Mzansi called an economy sector-wide national calls for proposals, which is what we normally do now. It's 39 sector-wide projects covering the full range of art disciplines. That came to a cost of 21 million rand. Provincial activations, where the department distributed the million rand in each department, in each to each province, to have their own activations. That was at a cost of 9 million rand. But there is a reduced, as you can see, Honorable Chair, as well as honorable members, that then the amount is far less compared to 2015. It's at total cost at 42.7 million rand. For 2017, Colloquia and Community Dialogue is at 3.5 million. Then the launch of the Africa Month itself at 1.5. Communication and Marketing Plan at 5 million. Multidisciplinary Open Call, and the one that was introduced in the previous year by under MGE, at 32 sector-wide projects covering a full range of art disciplines. That was at 23.6 million. Reference group meetings, which is an engagement with the minister and or the deputy minister, cost 30,000 rand. Dwala Ngamasiko Cultural Festival, a multicultural art and culture festival with participation from SADC countries, at a cost of 2 million rand. In line with trying to adhere to the stringent measures, then you can see that again the money is less than compared to the previous financial year at 35.6 million rand. Then, Honorable Chair, we received also the instruction that we must provide the report on the spending on local artists during festival. We did the same here. We've got the breakdown, wherever it was possible to get the breakdown of who the artists were and what at what cost. So we will, before we step off the item, also provide that breakdown. On this matter, the Go West Heritage Festival in Gauteng province, the amount given by DAC was 750,000, and the amount spent on local artists was at 685,000. And then the Vile Jazz Festival at 750,000 is a budgeted cost or amount given, and amount spent 482,000. Moritile Tribute Concert, amount spent at 973,420 rand. And then Cape Town Jazz Festival, amount of 1.8 million rand. And then Joy of Jazz in Gauteng, and amount given 3 million, and the amount spent on local artists at 1.5. The Makufe in Free State, amount given 3 million, and the amount spent on local artists at 1.4. National Days expenditure for 2017, and we incorporated the breakdown here on our chair to indicate for each day. And the Freedom Day cost, we've got Freedom Day that was held, it was in Mhlabelingana, and the budget was 4.5 million. The two columns are the ones that talk to the total budget, just to clarify that. The last column on marketing and communication was not covered in that budget, was extra. So when we say 4.5 was the budget, then 4.2 million rand was spent on infrastructure, security, marshals, catering, and other related activities. Cultural performance, which is entertainment or artists, was at 300,000 rand. That gives you the total of 4.5. However, these events are accompanied by communication and marketing, which then needed an additional cost of 629,420 rand. Youth Day was held in Northwest.
So
the budget.
Are you saying to us that when you plan an event like that one, for instance, you don't include marketing and communication in your plan? It becomes an add-on.
Okay, think that there is an area that needs to be addressed. In my view, that is what needs to be addressed, Chair. I agree with you, boss. But my colleagues might talk to that as these things were happening before my time. But if you do the total cost, then you have to say, as you see then that line, when I need a clarity, that indicates that marketing and communication budget amounts are not included in the 12 million rand. However, we did spend on communication. So the issue of planning and how it was not incorporated, maybe the colleagues can talk on whether the money was then materialized.
On the white suggestion, most of the departments do have a stakeholder convention. I just wanted to know whether we have it, because Chair, on the issue of planning, you cannot say issue of marketing and communication, it comes later. So it's where people to learn and enjoy the market, because it does, it kind of spectacular, especially in the national department as well. You can't do everything. You talk about national things. National things that are a priority change to us in South Africa. So issue of marketing and communication, that is the first one on the list. Because we need to be public awareness to the community where you are planning. So we can't put it aside and say it will be additional. So they must tell us where this money is spent. You cannot just come in the additional. And again, on the issue of where it comes, when you do your budget breakdown, when you ever come with an idea or come to request a requisition for in any department you have, you will break down what you need to do. So here are the numbers for you to implement.
They not be organizing these days? Or are we, we seemingly arts and culture is paying for this, but now are these officers not having the youth days, and why should arts and culture take that responsibility?
Thank you. Doesn't come at the end, it's part of the planning for additional days. And that's why the days are
are always covered in most of the newspapers, also in the local newspapers and on national TV. And like I said, that's why you will have Monday Live or the event itself on Monday Live. So it's not that we're doing it at the end. It is part of it from the beginning. It's just that we have got arrangements with GCIS to assist in some of the marketing communication. Sometimes you find that it comes from us directly from the budget, but sometimes you find that there is money that was given to them, and then they do the procurement for us. And maybe the way we have reflected that, we should have been clear in terms of that element. But that's how we got those arrangements with GCIS.
I get confused
and
because today you're going to pay, tomorrow the GCIS is going to pay, the other day NYDA is going. What is actually the case here? Because you're confusing us. You are saying you are responsible for this thing, but there's a point where other people have to pay. There's a point where I am confused about it. Can we have a clear answer? We need to be clear that we are not paying for everything. Communication is the responsibility of society, right? So that we are clear. It's confusing. It is confusing. You need to be clear why you are budgeting to say they are budgeting for this part of the event. We are responsible, but we are budgeting for 1, 2, and 3. The money, the budget that you pass here, the appropriation goes to this, that, and that. You don't wake up one day and decide I am going to pay or NYDA has to pay or whatever. You said you might.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not necessarily trying to respond to some of the issues that my colleagues have responded to, but I just thought that it's appropriate because there's a question that was asked about why did the department manage all these national cases. I think that the answer there is the cabinet decision, if I'm not mistaken, is that it should be
2011-2012.
We'll just check the, but which then gave the responsibility to the Department of Finance to be a coordinator. But what happened, Chairperson, I don't remember, is that when that responsibility was given to the Department of Finance, there was no principle of follow the function. The only department which I recall very well that was able to then hand over some of the resources was justice. But other departments, and I fully agree with you, Chairperson, that there needs to be some kind of predictability and consistency in terms of the funding part of it. But what we do currently, as a way of ensuring that these things can happen, it's what my colleague has actually said, where we work together with the respective government departments in terms of saying, how can we share the cost? Because as a Department of Agriculture, sometimes the responsibilities are big. For instance, if you are, because these days are not the same. Depends on the year. For instance, when we look at 2016, Women's Day was much more bigger by virtue of the fact that it was the 60th anniversary. So now the scale of that becomes so big, and the amounts of money, of course, and the contributions that need to be made are different from your normal other year. So will be your youth day. It was the 40th anniversary, so it became much more bigger in scale. But I do agree, Chairperson, that if we, at some point in time, could be this predictability of the finances, so that we do not just work on the basis of a year by year kind of approach. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think just to add, Chairperson, is that when we do the planning, the different, like for instance, when we write letters to provinces to say the event is going to be in your province, we also ask
they are responsible for mobilization and transport. And then the municipality is responsible for catering for, you know. So we share the cost with the province, with the municipality, and if it's for Department of Women, then they will say, we will do this. So it's not that the entire amount, everything will be then the responsibility of DHB. But I think maybe what we need to do is just to show all those costs in terms of the different, and who was responsible for what and who paid for what.
So, Chair, the Department of Family goes to us and not here can we. And here we talk about issues of family. I don't see family. Because whatever that you're saying, you're not costing me. So, which is they're not costing any event at this time. Even if how you shop this event can be. And human expertise under the same form that can provide. So, I don't want to discuss with you.
I think the issue of planning is something that we've been raising with the department. Because I think as we speak now, you should be having a plan of your Human Rights Day celebrating next year. It should be in place by now, and you know exactly what is going, who is going to do what. And the manner in which this is reported, it raises more questions than answers. So, as the Honourable Member explained, what we need as the Portfolio Committee, what we need really, truth speaking, we need clarity. This is what oversight is about, for us to ask the questions. And in some instances, we believe that the questions that we are asking are going to assist you to look deeper in issues. So this is what we want. As we are looking at the responses that we give, we believe that it makes you look closer at this matter, and you plan. Your plan is clear. Because if your plan is not clear, you are not going to have clear reporting. That's where it comes from. If your plan is not clear, to say that in this event, this is what is going to be done. This is how we are going to, so and so is going to pay for that. It's in your plan. So it doesn't have to be in your budget because we know that somebody else is going to pay for this. Yeah? So I think this is what is confusing to us, that some of the things that you are saying are not, I think that you think you think on your feet. It's something that you decide, okay, Josias must pay for this. And that's not how government should work. That's not how a government department should. You must not think on your feet. You need to plan properly for events. Can you respond to the question?
Yes, we agree with you. And what the other member said, for us, it's just to go back as we had agreed, that we will review the whole model of planning so that it's in line with the project-based planning, where you will have a clear project charter and project plan that will then determine what is in scope and what is out of scope, who are we collaborating with. That is what we agreed we will do, to review and streamline even within the department, so that cross-functionally we are able then to allocate responsibilities. Because even if the cost of marketing and communication was, and then an add-on, but it should be part of a bigger budget that you have, then you can just indicate where it comes from, but not report on partial total budget vis-a-vis additional budget. So that we've got that model, and I think that's what we will have to just make sure that it's, we do it, and we're afraid that that is the approach we're going to do, and make sure that we have a very clear review of how we're going to approach all national days, and have a clear template also of reporting in that regard. But we just treat them as project approach, and that is the only way you can be able to deal with such huge projects.
Are you happy with the amount that goes to ACES, or local ACES? If you are looking at the figures, are you happy about the amount that goes to ACES from this budget?
It's a very well question, because these people, they charge us according to their rent, appearance rent. And so when they charge according to that, we will then pay them, as we will show them the breakdown of each of them. But we fully agree that one of the issues, I think even the minister had indicated, was that part of the programs of the department is to empower our artists and to transform the sector, and to make sure that we are able to support them, that we must try to assist them to move away from this dying as a pauper, not just artists in music. But so the approach is geared towards achieving that. But the question you're raising is waiting, of course, you will ask for the quotations for those artists, they will give you those quotations, then you will spend according to what they quoted.
When you receive a quotation from an artist in Joburg, saying I want 400,000 rand, and you receive a quotation from someone who's from Port St. John's saying 20,000 rand, what do you do at the starting stage? You are receiving a quotation from Johannesburg, 400,000 rand, and you think, well, it's okay because this is what has been quoted. You receive a quotation from an artist in Port St. John's saying 5,000 rand. What do you say?
It's not for
the question is not solely for you. It's for the department. And as I said earlier, we are asking these questions to make you think, to bring this closer to where you are. Mr. Mama, so you have any?
Good morning, honorable members. In terms of all the application that comes, people, for instance, have sent an application that they want a community festival, for instance, in Port St. John's, it's 500,000, and you get same another application that says you want a festival in Johannesburg, 1 million and so on and so on. So at the back of our minds, you know, for example, the majority of the artists, most artists, some of them are based in Gauteng. For example, they ask for Uringo, and you know that Uringo is based in Gauteng. So their transport costs and some of them will actually want to flow. So the chance is that the further you go away, let's say you go to St. John's, the prices also go up. But also we have a sense to say a normal festival in a stadium that attracts, let's say, 10,000 people, it will come to about between 500,000 and 800,000 in terms of what we will contribute throughout. So we check all those issues, where is it taking place, what kind of a festival, is it an open air festival or a closed door in a community or those kind of things. So it's all those things that finally, you know, and then we go to the person and say, maybe we need to review your budget. Because some of the budget, for example, say sound system. If you're in Port St. Joseph, the nearest place to get a sound system, it will be at the most probably GA House. You know, so those distances also take these issues into account. So we advise them to review their budget, let's look how we can deliver that. I'm not sure if I'm responding, but we take this into account.
Yes, you are responding, but this area, the payment of access. Do you ever say to a person, but you can't pay 5,000 rand to an artist? Because this is not just about, it's about the livelihood of this person. You are prepared to pay a lot of money for an artist in Johannesburg, but you are not prepared to pay. Even if you were prepared to pay, but because this artist is saying 5,000 rand, so you say, okay, fine, oh, I'm okay with this, you give that person. Do you ever have it in your heart to say 5,000 rand is not enough for your performance? You need, as the Department of Arts and Culture, we are not paying artists less than this amount because we know that this is their license. Is there anything like that in the department?
The problem with what Chair is proposing at this stage, you might be, maybe the latter part, Chair, when you're saying, maybe we're saying a minimum at the least. But in terms of being guided by SCM and the PFMA, aiding and abetting might be a problem when if someone says, I'm of this value, therefore pay me this amount of money. Then one of the official department goes and say, no, increase this money. We will set a very dangerous precedent because then there might be genuine intention to support the artist, but there might be also collusion to have corrupt practices there. So maybe the issue of just having that cut off to say if it's rural areas for purposes of 1, 2, 3, that would be the minimum. Then we might have to look into that, but we still have to be guided by the procurement process. Honorable Chair, so I appeal that, because if we use art, it's very dangerous, Chair, as you have said before, that we must be guided by the process. Mm. But I understand what you say.
I am here now that the Department of Arts and Culture is not about artists. I'm here. This is here in my mind, that you don't have time for artists. This is what this is saying. Because I'm not saying that
Chair, thank you. No, I think he touched on the soft point that he is happening. Because if you say to an artist that's in here, the artist asks 5,000 rand, and I'm an official in the department and I know the minimum is 20,000 rand, and I tell that artist that's in here, I'll give you X amount and you give me X amount back. and that's what is happening. So the DG is quite high there. However, it is very important, therefore, that when the department needs to set benchmarks for artists from the rural areas and from the city areas, so that he knows, so the artist already knows. If I am called to come to a stage in Gauteng, and I'm from St. John's, I'm
problem saying another policy on first one. Like, people in rural areas devalue themselves. They think that they are not good enough. Actually, in fact, even if they know that they are good enough, it's the system that devalues them. The system that the department is using devalues those people from rural areas. And they are happy with that.
No, Chair, adding is not only rural, including the upcoming departments. You know, in terms of the payment is different. But you know, my question to the department, how can you address this? What Honorable Khosi will talk about the issue of benchmarking. I'm glad I'm coming and you know, artists from Soweto, and then an event that I think in earmarks maybe in Orlando Stadium to go and perform. Then how do the department come in terms of paying that? There comes the issue that you're asking, why somebody is being paid 5,000 rand. But the department doesn't have a pay in terms of this artist. Because Bulani can be different than Kwesta. Kwesta can take 5,000, you know who Kwesta is. But what are we saying for this upcoming and the ones that are run? And the chair, not those, especially those who are doing the pensioner fund. You know, we know that they are up there in the corner, they are not that much being exposed. But when these people are coming to perform, whether it's a traditional dance or basic, they want to replace something. Did you talk about issues of supply chain? It must start here. You know, it must start here in a black and white form to say that if an artist comes to the department, it won't be this year, servants, maybe the department will say, we'll start with 50,000 and then. But for us, if the department doesn't know, it's where the issue of corruption starts to say, you will charge them 50,000, you will give me 25,000. So maybe in future, the department needs to come with a concept that you need to be clear on the issue of pricing or the performance of the artist. Because the one that is traditional, you are clear, if you can't be on to the side, you also won't perform for the 100,000, nothing. But for us, it will take the next year in terms of the HS International Festival. You will see the discrepancy that is happening. But you are saying we as this department, or we as this committee, we must advocate for those ones that are upcoming, including those who are in Rwanda. Remember, Chair, this issue is comes on the issue of record companies to say who's come with the university. Then this time there's a rate. If Bulani is coming with a rate, Bulani will be more popular than the one who's coming with Chairperson. So these are the things that we need to close the gap and the social distance that you are creating for those who are in rural areas that you cannot do with them. Chair, there are many of them and they are trying for them, but you are not there.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Amara.
Chairperson, in KZN, they've developed a committee called Honorary and Special Payment Committee. We have the documents, we have processed it in terms of the department we are looking, but it deals with all these issues. Your traditional musician, your MC, those that have recorded, those that haven't recorded, first comers and professionals. So it's a part of the whole of KZN, that standard. I just know if they are going for a national event of KZN, this is how much they're going to pay. So we are processing that, we discuss it, and then present the document to the controlling
official.
Okay.
You see, now it's good now the KZN is leading the department when the department was supposed to lead all the provinces. So we welcome what the KZN is doing. But it was the department that was supposed to champion this and to lead to all the provinces in terms of the response.
What I'm just trying to say is that I think it's important even when you're giving money, you're giving those sort of money for whatever festival, you sit down with me to say how much is going to benefit the local artists in East London out of this 5 million that we are giving you. to have that even before you give me the money. Because your work is not about enriching me. Your work is about artists. You know? So I think it's important as a department when you give money to people, ensure that whatever you're giving me, artists are going to benefit. You must have a way of ensuring that local artists are going to benefit. I think it's important for you to look at that and ensure that it happens. And there was something on saying that you gave each province 1,000 rand each.
1 million.
Yes. 1 million. Do they feedback on how they have spent the money? Do they feedback on how they, or do they give you a plan? You give them 1 million and, you know, what happened? How is it done?
Thank you. Chairperson, yes, the condition was that provinces had to provide food and space to the department before they were given that money. But also, that was one strategy the Chairperson went to, was attempting to ensure that if we are talking African money, you are talking about the whole country. So we wanted to ensure that African money is spelled in all provinces, because we were worried that if we're maybe just going to concentrate in Cape Town, Durban, Johannesburg, therefore you won't give expression to the concept of African money in a much more accurate way. So yes, there were conditions. They had to be given a plan, and of course just to be brought up.
Do you
want
to ask a question?
It's like I'm not satisfied. You know, you asked a very simple question. You said, did they give feedback on how did they spend the money? It takes some time for them to respond. They were looking into each other until one opted to say, yes. It's not convincing. It's like the feedback is not there. Because it is there. I think even the one who was reporting or was answering the question was supposed to say yes. The feedback is not there, Chairperson. It's not. They need to be honest with us. It's not. You can read into their eyes. There's no feedback. And that means to us that they're not monitoring. They don't care. They just give for the sake of giving, or for them to spend at the end of the day to say, yes, we have spent all the money that we're supposed to spend in the department. But the feedback is not there.
And you know, as I used to say, that as a personal committee, we hear even what you are not telling us. Yes? We hear even what you are not telling us, and we read what you have not written. So, but I think it's important for the department to ensure that, as we usually say, that the information that they give us is the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. And the issue of feedback, I think it's important, and it goes, like, the issue that we are going to raise when we come back is the issue of libraries. So you need to look at that. That you give money, then what? You give money, a library is built, then what? Then what happens? We know that libraries are a provincial mandate constitutionally, but you have this conditional grant, you're giving money to provinces. What then happens after you've given money and a library is built, or a modular library is there, or a container library, whatever? What happens thereafter? How do we ensure provincial department and the local municipality in respect of licensing. So I think, and this is one thing that I think has always been hanging. It has always been hanging. I think we need to find a way of ensuring that we close that gap and we are sure that when this library has been built, there's not going to be any problem. So I think it's important when we come back next year, I think we need to spend more time on that issue. And I think it's something that needs discussion even at midnight level. At midnight level. And in those discussions, we need, I think, to include culture as well, because that's where the life of it is, right? Local level. Yeah. So I think it's important for us. Another problem, of course?
Yes, sir. I need to add something to 2018 before we go. Maybe the department needs to come with a report and outline concept plan in terms of learning of the economy. All those groups that are going to be coming to me, who are saying how much participating in the digital market, because it will create jobs for those activities. So maybe the department needs to do the
thank you very much, honourable member. I hope you've noted that. Issues to be discussed 2018. We just wake up and 2018 is over. So this is why we're giving you umphava now, so that you prepare yourself, because we start at the beginning and this will be at the end of the year already. I just want to say to the department, you know, when we ask for this information, as I said earlier, it's not that we are not doing it out of fun or out of being mean to you, but we want you to look at this thing and to begin to think about it. And, you know, the manner that you've done this is commendable for you to sit down and feel this out, so that I think even some of you were, really? Is it like this? There was shocking information even for you. Because sometimes when you do, you just do your work and but when you have to record, you're like, okay, really? It's unbelievable to see that this is what he's doing, especially to our artists. And I believe, really, that the department should have focus not only on musicians, but crafters, artists, this department is so broad. There is a lot in this department that can actually change the lives of the people. And I think you are in a space, you are in the right space to change the society. I don't know that you actually realize that you are in a powerful position at this department. You are positioned to change society. But you don't seem to realize it. I'm worried that you don't seem to be aware of the power that you're holding in your hands as this department. And it's only when you do your work that, because at the moment you are at the periphery, and it's only when you do your work properly that you can be drawn to the center of society. The society can have all these things, but if people don't know where they are coming from, people don't know who they are. And it's the department that can actually do that, make people realize who they are, look at their potential, and tap on that potential. It's this department. So I don't know whether you realize. They can have houses, But yes, if people don't know where they come from, the houses will be destroyed. We can have growing economy, but if people don't know who they are, that can be destroyed as well. So you have a role to play to ensure that this society is placed where it's supposed to be. And we need to have this focus on artists. And we want to feel. So I don't know whether you bring us a plan of how you would ensure that artists, because even the minister has been saying this, that we don't want to recognize people only when they are dead. And you have, what that means, for you to be successful, means that you have to do the right thing all the time. You don't just wake up one day and be successful. It doesn't happen that way. You need to do work, little things that will take you to a success. So I think it's important for the department to realize that your success rests on how you treat your artists and how other people, because people will see how the department treats artists, and the society will begin to treat the artists with respect, because the department is showing respect. You know, I've seen places where people budget more for catering than they do for payment of artists. You know, doing awkward things on their own. I mean, we are generally trying to keep them around the school. But if you can just really, if you can just focus for, and the artists must feel it, they must feel that the department is really supporting us. But presently, artists out there, we don't feel it as the department, and it's the worst for artists out there. So I think there's something that you need to do to ensure that, and as the committee, we've said it, we are here to support you. We are here to support you. If you say we are going to have an activation in Northern Cape, another support bomb is there to assist with the activation, bringing together artists, so that artists can begin to feel that somebody out there really cares for us. Somebody out there is really keen on empowering us, so that one day we can be those people who are independent. Because in their nature, artists are job creators. That's the nature of an artist, to create jobs, not to seek for jobs. So I think it's important for you to do this. We are getting people who are saying, this is the work that we are doing, and the department, we've written to the department, and the department is not responding. This non-responsive department that we're talking about every day. And yes, in Nakanda, to say the same thing over and over again. Have you experienced this thing? When you're talking to your officials, the same thing every day. To be like a broken record, it works on you as a person. There's something wrong with me, because I've been saying this since 2014. I'm still saying it now. There's something wrong with me. You know, so you need to be responsible. Respond to people and tell them what the decision is, even if it's negative. We are not saying that give everybody money. No. Like, we were not saying that break all the laws to ensure that artists get what is due to them. We can't say break the laws. We are the last people to encourage you to break the laws. We can't. Because we make the law, we pass the law. But what we are saying, within the legal framework, ensure that the artist gets what they deserve. That's what we are doing as the department. And when you give money for festivals and whatever, make sure that it's not to enrich me as a person, but it's to ensure that the artist in that area will benefit from the money that is being given by the Department of Arts and Culture. Make sure festivals and national days. And I think you've grasped the spirit that should be there. And what if he basically creates this responsive department? By response, because women and circumstances are in the and it's not nice. The people must not bank on, we don't want people banking on us, Tina, as the portfolio committee. Ours is an oversight function. We don't want people banking on us. We want people to bank on the department. And people to say, go out there and say, this is what the department is doing for us. Sharon, even if your application is not successful, they come back to you and explain to you why it has not been successful. And they assist you to apply. You know, how nice it would be if you would get that feedback, that you are a caring, responsive department. I think it's important for the department to build that culture of responsibility. We are now stepping off, honorable members, the National Africa Day. And the question that I have about the Africa Day is why have you thought of why the decrease in that from 61 million to 42 million? Can you explain that? What did you do when you started this whole thing that you did not do in 2016? When you started in 2016, 15 million, and then that drastic reduction to 22 million.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. I think that the simple answer to this is that this matter is the matter that was actually being discussed in various stakeholders, and the issue was that the court for settlement became a very much important level to say we cannot be spending so much money when the damage is true. So that's why we had to sort of undergo that improvement when we get to the decrease. It went down. But of course, we always have to ensure that if you can look at now the big amount that was not being spent, but the one where we were receiving projects from various communities other than money also being spent.
Thank you, Chair. I've just listened to the DG mentioning now where they cut, but I see here the big difference here is communication and marketing, that from 21 to from 21 million to 6 million, or from 21.6 million to 6 million. Now, that's a huge deduction in terms of just communication and marketing. And then we even had their flex, which was not part of the previous one. I'm not sure what really what you attribute the reduction in costs to. What also here is, then I see provincial activation of 9 million, which is not in the previous one. I think your question, Chair, is a relevant one. That big reduction even going down to 35 million the following year. That question needs some interrogation.
Thank you, Member.
Maybe I'm clear that Honorable Portman is actually, you know, been very specific. 2015, 2016, and 2016, 2017, we had service providers. More particularly, we had people who were actually providing services in terms of marketing communication. But then immediately after that, we then just paid an internal in the department that helped the reduction in terms of the expenditure.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, I think we should now step off that area, and the department has noted the concerns of the sectorial committee and the advice, because this is such a debate from the onset that yes, our unit is an oversight mandate, but we also want, I'd like to advise, because it's not about us, it's about the people that are being served. We are stepping off that item. Can we now go to the concept document on community conversation? This is one thing that we can raise in the community, the impact. And the observatory, when it was here last week, they did say something about the impact of the work of the department in society. So I think it's important, because whenever you do whatever, you want that to have an impact on. Do you want to raise something on that?
Chair, just one small and other question. Just one last one. It's concerning FARA, but it's also concerning the every month MGE funding breakdown. Now, I see FARA features here for technical events conference of 800,000 rand. But I'm trying to bring the two together against the first, against page 3 of the presentation on matters arising, where there is, I don't know if it preceded this or was after this, that papers are being prepared for the Council of FARA. So there is still a dispute with FARA, and I just wanted to find out if this different money is still the same as the other proposal that FARA received. The 800,000 rand that the breakdown of the Africa Month project. This is a small question. I'm not sure about.
Thank you. As part of implementing our sector strategies, we support different organizations. FARA does the technical, on an annual basis, the technical conference, which contributes at 800,000, but it's separate from other proposals. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Any
other questions? We've been talking about these conversations and what the impact of the conversation is on society. And without wasting time, can you present on this community conversation?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. First, maybe just to say, Chair, that it is there is a I know that there was an issue of the report. There is a report of the Africa Month that is on my table that I'm processing and wrote to Minister. And because we need to submit that report to him. And but dealing with the gaps and the details that have been raised, and will be my priority to check what happened with those areas and as raised by honorable members. On the issue of the concept document, Chair, I would like just to say that the concept note, we start by stating the background and to the committee conversation, and then where they come from, and in relation to nation building and social cohesion. It then also outlines the purpose and the objectives, and that the intention is to promote social cohesion and nation building. And then it was found necessary that we must provide clarity around the content itself on what it means and what it seeks to achieve. It then goes and utilizes what we call thematic approach for the full conversation. In other words, identifying what are the areas of focus that the conversation should attend to. And that is based literally from the resolution of the 2012 summit that was held, but also emanating from what is the National Development Plan 2030, as well as the medium term strategic framework from 2014 to 2019. Now, in terms of the methodology that is used, the note then introduces what we regard as a sustainable dialogue approach, which aims to then make sure that you do not have a flash in a pen as you engage with the community, but that the dialogue can be carried forward beyond the one day or moment or week in which it was taking place in a particular area. And then the government, in terms of the summit, it was hosted by the government in Soweto, and the aim of the summit was to provide a platform where individuals, as well as various institutions from different sectors of society, were to come up with a resolution that would ensure that there is a collaboration, a social compact, with respect to collaboration and partnership between government as well as broader society in achieving the goals of the project itself. But also, based on that social cohesion summit, was one of the emphases was that South Africa as a nation need to engage in this dialogue to be able to see it in various platforms at different areas, far and wide, including all citizens of the country, on what are the matters of national and critical importance. So in 2014, financially, then the series of the conversations was started with the following particular thematic issues being area of focus. One was what are the rights and responsibilities that South Africans have and have been bestowed by the Constitution, but also getting the perspective from communities on what they think these rights and responsibilities mean. This is the fact that there has been a culture generally in South Africa of emphasizing the rights without dealing with the issues of the responsibilities and obligations that the rights come with. But secondly, there has been that deficit where you will find that people's, in terms of rights, they think rights are unlimited when the Constitution, Paragraph 6, is clear on the limitations. And if you do not educate people around these matters, it is very easy to then undermine rights of others while in an effort to try to exercise your own rights. Social cohesion and national identity, what does this mean and how can it really be put into practice to have a coherent, united society? But also, what does it mean to be South African? What's our identity? Then, of course, how can citizens participate, active citizenry as well as voluntarism? So 30 community conversations with diverse groups were then held in 2014-2015 financial year. The report on this conversation had identified two things on why these conversations are of value and quite critical. First, it was able to point out what are the challenges that it might impact on social cohesion. These challenges were related to service delivery appraisers and whatnot, and where people might find that then this brings tension within the community, because social cohesion is not just across each of race, but it's also including building, living, coherent communities at a local level. So then the next thing was focus on what should be remedial actions that will help them to deal with the service delivery, which impacts directly or indirectly on social cohesion and nation building. This implies that then the failure to deliver basic services has come with a very negative effect to the very social fabric of society, and to the extent that there continues to be challenges also in delivery. Then the ideal of an inclusive, proud, and social cohesive society will not succeed or find attraction to all the citizens. The also second issue was then that we identified out of the report that in terms of social cohesion and nation building, we will now have a baseline which can serve as a reference point from which we can proceed in terms of the next series of the conversation. So the conceptual framework then further states that while South Africa is indeed acknowledged as a thriving democracy and has registered one of the most peaceful political transitions in the modern history, however, the legacy continues to linger and affect lives of various citizens in the country. So there has been also a recognition at the leadership nationally and around the issue of the initiatives that have provided us with legal instruments in addressing the historical imbalances and injustices. As part of redress agenda, the TRC was then also part and parcel of that process. However, there were issues that were identified during this conversation in the space like that, among other issues, that despite the success of the TRC to try and have healing and closure on this matter, there are still many unanswered questions, as some perpetrators did not volunteer to appear before the TRC. There are also lingering questions about restorative justice in general and reparations in particular, that during this conversation these things arose. So radical transformation has yet to bear the desired results, and the vast majority of those disadvantaged by apartheid continue to remain, some of them on the margins of the economy, which then remains very much in the hands of the white monopoly capital, even as government continue to intensify efforts around the redress agenda. The level of polarization continues to be worrisome, and in general, divisions are still very discernible along the contours of race and, to some extent, culture, religion, ethnicity, language, geographical region, among other areas. So what then is social cohesion and nation building? This is just a natural description that is provided in the concept document to say that the national strategy for development of an inclusive and cohesive South African society is defined social cohesion as a degree or a level to which mutual solidarity finds expression among individuals and communities.
Thank you very much. But I think as a community, what we need is for you to give us a case study to say there was this problem and we came up with this concept of our community conservation, and as a result of the community conservation, this happened, you know, this thing changed. We have different case that say, in the first community, there was a problem here, and you came in, the problem was resolved, or is in the process of being resolved. There was a case of young
people doing whatever, you came in and you had this intergenerational conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And in this area now, young people and old people can actually converse and they can work together, and voila, this is the result. This is what we want as the portfolio committee.
Honorable Chair, there are such, maybe then we need to do that. So there are, just as I speak, we had engaged previously, there were incidents in Rwanda, there was an incident in Pretoria Fields, where the government had to have its advocate getting involved in that process. So there are case studies, but I think we will then need to make sure we provide those before they will give them the whether there was an impact or not, what was the consequence of such intervention to bring about social cohesion. Those incidents are there and are available where there were just those direct interventions by the department. Maybe that is what we then should go back and provide to the control committee chair.
Yes, because I think this document is outlining everything and it's outlining very well. But I think what's important is for us to be practical, to bring it where things, where the wheel hits
the rubber hits the ground.
Yes, the rubber hits the ground, you know. So I think it's important that we do that. This is how much we spend here, and there is ready for money in what we are doing. It's not just conversing for the sake of conversing, but there is transformation, there is change that is a result of the work that we have done in this area. And when you look at society as it is, there are a lot of things that need conversations, and how do you prioritize those areas that you have this conversation in? And I think your plan going forward, where are you planning to have this conversation? Because that was one thing that we required as a committee to say to us, we are having conversations in the Eastern Cape where I come from, we are in this area, and if I have time, I can go there. And this advocate, yes, my advocate at the Eastern Cape. If you can tell me the advocate of the Eastern Cape and tell the members who are the advocates in their area, because we do need to talk to them and in a way, you know, understand what they are doing there and assist, and you know, I think it's important. Maybe if you don't have the information from the top of your head, you can find the information. Give us their names and their numbers so that you can be able to talk to them and see if they need assistance. And I think that's important. Can we step off the table? Honorable.
Chairperson is not actually the place, but maybe it is the place to speak something from my heart, in the sense that I think I move around in the country and I'm really very much concerned that we're at the worst position ever on this issue. And I know it sounds terrible after 20 years, but if you move around, you talk to young people in the city, and I've got a lot of them, there's a polarization, there's racism, there's all over. And this poor department has got the problem to try and address it. And I'm going to argue on their side today, not normally I'm on their side. Maybe just a footnote, I'm finishing almost my parliamentary career now. So maybe there's just a message from a certain side. I'm going not to other action, I'm going to back to my community now, work there.
Okay.
Well, I think you must stay around. You're still going to become a minister, but I'll have my
No.
What I think is, now, let's do this article. Let's think, yeah, I just wrote an article on nation building for parliamentary closure, made today, but they could even have to see. But we've got a big problem, and a problem not been created initially by us around the table. Realities. Now, one is the nation state. The Europeans came along and they gave Africa the different space, putting different French in France, they were in Spain, everybody, whatever. But most African countries, there is artificial boundaries with different languages, cultures. And that's a very complicated situation with ethnicity in there, religious differences. Look at Nigeria if you want to see what things that can become. The second problem that they have is you can force a lot of things. You can put people in jail. Mandela was in jail for how long? But you can't change someone's mind by forcing him. When he got out, he still believed what he believed, and the same goes for nation building. You cannot force nation building. If people don't want to cooperate, they will not cooperate. You can give them information, and I think that's what they try to do. You can have conversations that they meet each other and don't work in these silos of perceptions. I think you are like this, and I think I'm like this. All whites are racist, whatever. All blacks are stupid, whatever. That's what tells you wrong, but you can keep them together, that they can start talking to each other and discover that there's good people in all areas and there's bad people in all areas. And then you've got some divide within. I think conversations can help with that one. Now, I believe we need a different recipe than the one at the moment. And I think they can't do that. In a sense, on the one side, we say unity in diversity. And that's reality. How do you balance that two? You cannot ignore the diversity or the unity. If you overemphasize the diversity, you end up with apartheid and racism. If you ignore it and say it's only unity, you get a conflict, like happened in Nigeria. It's here at the moment. They're fighting on ethnic grounds. Look at those different things. So to get that balance right. Now, I took page 11 of this one, and I picked them, and I won't do it with you, what we have, what we don't have. And there's quite a few of these that we don't have, you know. A shared indigenous language, we don't have that. A shared indigenous collectivized religion, we don't have that. A shared conscious forming homogeneous group, I don't think we have that. And therefore, this can't help us. It can help us. And this might work for Europe, might work for maybe Botswana, because it's really quite homogeneous in a sense. But we'll have to develop some different one. And we would like to come up from the department to argue on their side. I strongly believe leaders determine the atmosphere in the country. And you can work within that atmosphere. Because the question is, why was the atmosphere different in 94 than it is at the moment? And I don't want to go into politics. As I said, I'm getting out of this place. But look at Africa. They struggle the same thing. And I know Mozambique, one of the slogans there was, for the nation to live, the tribe must die. And I spoke to some of the people when I was there, saying, you know, everything died but the tribe. And now we must handle that. Now we must how do we do it? Languages, differences, whatever. And one of the recipes in most African countries that worked was an easy recipe, and that is a recipe to get a scapegoat. It's always easier to unite people against something that works quite well. Easier. In politics as well. Let's fight. They're fighting Zuma. If he's gone, they're in trouble. They don't have an enemy anymore. That's a footnote. My argument is it's easy to unite people against something. So most African countries, they went against the Belgians with a big problem. Everybody united. Against the French. Against the British. It worked 20 years maybe. Now Kenya are struggling a bit how to get this democracy going and diversity going. Nigeria is struggling in a sense. And Mandela realized that. I said, I didn't know him that well, but I had breakfast with him more than once. That was his way to take you for breakfast and spoke to you. And he realized he can't have the same recipe in South Africa because we are all here. The Asians came and they're still here. The Afrikaners came and they're still here, and we'll always be here. So blame is easy, but it's not going to solve it. And now I go to politics. At the moment, I get the impression that some of the leaders then blame each other and say, you are the reason, you are the reason. And then you get polarization. Then people tend to go into their own corners, to close ranks in a sense, and then we start fighting each other on the perceptions of each other. So I think we need a different model. To look at this, we'll have to check some of these. But I'm so strong to believe that leaders can make the difference. A leader that talks reconciliation, a leader that said, this is complicated, we've got this history, we know about TRC, we know all about this, but we must do this, this, and this. And then leaders from the other side, and make over their sides, react to that. That's what happened beginning in the first 10 years. And then the message goes down to everybody, all the smallest stuff down to everybody. This is the message. And if you down the ranks down here and you break that sort of atmosphere, you're out of line. But if the leaders say, you are the trouble, and blacks are causing farm murders, and whites are causing racism and whatever, that's it. Then easy speech, I'm doing easy today. The difficult speech is the other one. Then it goes down. let's blame each other. And the poor guy down here that tries to talk reconciliation, he's out of line. And he's then moved to the side and then we polarize in a sense. Now I'm giving a lecture now, I'll give you my article to give it. But I feel very strongly about that. I've got five children. Three of them were brought. I brought them back. My daughter was 8 years in London. She was a medical doctor. She got a very good practice in Canadian. And she asked me when she come back, and I said, yes. Don't watch the news for 3 months, and then you come back. And she came back with my grandchildren. I'm a South African. I'm an African. I'm a proud African. Whether my demo, whatever agrees or disagrees, you have to make we'll be here. And we'll always be here, and we get to got to get the recipe ready. And I'll still talk on my deathbed will argue about this. But I worry when leaders blame people and then think the department must meet social cohesion very well, the whole atmosphere in the country is sort of going different to leaders. So let's look at page 11 again. Let's try and debate what does unity and diversity mean. I wrote my article, what I want. I want to be myself in South Africa. Why is that? That's a strong sentence. I'm an Afrikaner, and I want to be one. I'm still an Afrikaner. I want to be myself in South Africa. But I know this ship goes down, we all go down, my children as well. And this forest starts burning, all the trees burn. And the moment you got that balance right, then you've got the recipe that might work. Thank you, Chairperson.
Can
you
remember,
but
that was the next
time. It was the next
year.
I was a professor before I came into politics.
Thank you very much. I hope that you are listening to that and you are looking at the page. And this is what we have always said as the portfolio committee, that we need, we said while Mr. Honorable Mahlangu was a member of the committee, that we needed our own conversation as the portfolio committee, just for us to discuss what we understand about this issue. Because the unity and diversity, for instance, and also the issues that can never be legislated. You can't legislate attitude from people. You can't. So I think it's important for us to even look at that and see how we can. But this outcome is on your plate. So you cannot run away from it. You must not only, you don't only have the responsibility to do something, but you must be seen to it, to be doing something about it. So you need to be creative, as Honorable Mulder was saying, you need to be creative to think at other ways of how we can actually deliver on this mandate that has been given. Honorable Fortune?
Chair, my mic is thank you. So how do I do we bring this together if we say we are a secular state? So the right hand ones know what the left hand is doing, and we must be genuine, meaning if we follow one pattern, that let's keep on that road. That white be white and black be black, in terms of what we are doing, to follow the straight and narrow. But I will get the answer. I don't know if I should ask, send a question to the minister, or maybe the department can answer while they are here in terms of the MGE that's on the document of the MGE funding. And I just needed to find out on that, and also about the affirmation of the grant that in ASCO, in the department, all knows about it. Or
do you as the department head lay the policy on estimation? I think that's where we need to start when we talk about the estimation of the names of people. Because I know that this is the question that we have asked. It's very important to have a policy on how, so that you are guided, you don't wait. This thing that you are talking about, honorable members, remember, does not happen. That you wake up one day, you are in a good mood, you feel, okay, they can do this, and you are going to support them. Tomorrow you wake up grumpy and say, I don't want to hear anything about explanation. So I think it's important for the department to tell us if it does have this a policy on estimation of the money. And
you see the issue of social cohesion in nations, even it's touching us even today in this community. You know, it only brings the issue of the identity. We could hear from the speaker one, speaker two, you know, taking what is the business and talking about. One will talk about the issue of shared indigenous language. It could mean now as learning from the little that I would say I was forced maybe to do my education in terms of the issue of the Africanness, issue of the language, issue of education system, admission committees that still can be there in our schools. So I'm saying it's the deeper concept or the thing that we're talking about, because now it's coming to us, not to the department. Because each one of us, we are addressing ourselves in terms of where do I come from, you know. I am Sudan, I am South African, I was born in Soweto, you know, and I started to become the ancestors of the ancestors, you know. So it brings those emotions. So I think it's a dialogue. It is happening to us here. What about those community conversations that are happening outside there, where people are trying to find themselves with us as a legislation themselves. Because now everybody is talking about I come from this is happening to my community, or this is happening to my area or my country. So I think we need to come together as South Africans in terms of dealing the issues of social cohesion and nation building. But my question to the department goes to issue of the mobile regeneration, how does it play part? Because I know that you're finding them and you don't see them in our community. Where are they on these issues? Where do we find them? Because last time we called them, and if there are community conversations that are happening in terms of any issue that is being raised outside, they need to talk about the issue of one. My point is to say, why do you wait for something to happen? Then if you go and address it, can the department maybe detect earlier to say in this community, this is the things that are coming, I will take an example. I'm deployed in France, where there's a lot of immigrants outside. And the last time we did see that, they were fighting the police. Yesterday or a day before, it happened in my home in Johannesburg, in India. So what are we saying about that? You know, these are the things that the issue of social cohesion and nationality and how the issue of safety or church, this thing is a problem. It's a first issue.
As the committee, just to look at how we can have this conversation and who we should invite, just for us to have a conversation amongst ourselves, maybe invite other committees so that we begin to talk about this issue, and so that you as the department begin to have a sense and maybe get a re-education that we can have.
Just small add, I went back to their speech. In 94, and I sound like a very old man, I'm not old, we were forced by the negotiations to sit around the table week after week in writing that constitution. And we were forced to talk to each other and to try and understand each other. And the first thing is you must understand to say, from where are you? What's your background? Why do you think the way you're doing is that the right way? And even up to 96, and sad part is I think we totally lost it. I think in this committee is the most that we talked about our history. I talked about my grandmother concentration camp. You need to know that. We went to the Anglo-Boer War, but we also went to the Bele Museum, etc., etc. So we thought we were fortunate in that sense. But I'm afraid we lost that. And I'm not sure the conversations might help in a sense, but sure the leaders must begin the day. And I said, we had it, and I think we lost it. That's why we struggle with young people that are being brought up on sort of perceptions and political speeches on both sides.
We have it, we lost it, we must find it. That needs to happen. Thank you very much, honorable members. I think this was a good discussion, and I'm hoping that the department will take this forward, and we will also, as the committee, look at how we can broaden this conversation within Parliament, and we facilitate that so that we are in a position to move forward. I think one other suggestion that came up in one of the committee meetings that you need to have, when you are going, if you need to create safe spaces for people to say what's in their heart, you know, to create a space where Pulane from Soweto, a Tswana girl, can begin to say, how do I feel, without being judged, without offending anybody, just a space where they can, a person can say whatever they want to say. And then in their corners, Pulane will say this, Honorable Melda will say this in that corner, to have a safe space to say whatever, in whatever way. But when they are brought together, they have dealt with their issues. They can now look at the situation, you know, and begin to craft their way, to say, okay, I didn't understand it. Oh, is this how it is? I've dealt with my own issues. I begin to understand his issues. And then we can, in that way, move forward. So I think it's important. This is very important. It's very important for us to look at that. Can we then step off the matter and look at the matter of fruitless and wasteful expenditure? And as I looked at the documents, there are still entities. This is a thorny matter, the issue of consequence management.
And just to interrupt you, I think the department also wants to answer the question around the policy of
Okay. Yes. Thank you for that.
Okay,
well, Cindy, I'm going to respond to that. He was itching to respond.
No, just because of the chairperson. But of course, the issue of integration will be dealt with within the parameters of the National Heritage Society. Because that's the organization that is also responsible for the burial grave.
So in case grade doesn't discover, they then take responsibility in terms of what needs to be done with those particular remains. But also I must say, Chairperson, that the policy on exhumation cannot be divorced from a much more bigger issue, repatriation. Now, that's where we have a challenge because we're still working on that policy on repatriation.
Mm-hmm.
Taking not just only human remains, but also heritage objects. Because we have a situation where people who might have died outside the country, families want them to be brought back to the country.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, we will be having some heritage items that are outside the because of course, colonial past that we have. We are working on that policy in the making, because those are intertwined. Whenever there are developments, I'm sure that whatever became an issue with the Khoi Sali remains, which are still fine now, it could have been because there were developments. Whenever that development, sometimes heritage impact assessments are done, archaeological surveys are done, and these methods are discovered. And I don't think that that's the first one. I remember a couple of years ago, there were also some discoveries here. Now the big question then becomes, what do you do with those? Do you create a mass grave where those are actually being located in one space? Because in most cases, you can't even discover. You cannot identify, you know, the families to which those particular remains, and it becomes a national matter or a provincial matter in terms of what needs to be done. But we will follow on that. But I was just, the way I'm long-winded, you can understand, it's the complexity of the matter that we are dealing with. It's not just the simple.
Thank you for the policy.
Currently, what we are doing, we are just doing a provincial consultation. I would request to get them some time so that we can then respond appropriately to the committee. So I don't want to then just in a knee-jerk way and then say, Chairperson, because I want this question to pass, next year we will have. No, let me just get the time because we are doing the consultation in the province. And then we still, once we have had the draft, it would still have to go through all the processes. Now we are for social economic impact assessment, which we still have to do. But of course, we will then have to go through all the clusters of government where, you know, so that we can contact with all the relevant companies.
Thank you, Mr.
Mahola.
Can I have the next question, Justin,
there is a document that has been done here on the repatriation of human beings and remains.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. We do have a presentation with the outline of the background, the people, the regulation, the claims, the details, and the analysis. And finally, what the committee is also interested in is the issue of consequent management. On the background, Honorable Members, in the annual report of the Department of the year 2016 and 2017, you can see that the Department incurred a fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 492,000. This
we also look at the trend of waste and wasteful expenditure and indicate that there was a decline from an amount of 11 million in the year 2013 and 14, and it decreased to 492 in the year 16 and 17. However, in that particular year of 16 and 17, when you compare with the previous year of 15 and 16, there was an increase of 272. The department has put out measures in place to monitor expenditure patterns to present to as a wasteful expenditure, which include a list of scheduled payments so that invoices must not attract payments. Just to give an example, if you've got a telecom account, you know that it is paid on the 10th of every month. So if you've got a monthly schedule which tells you the timelines of payment, then you need to monitor it to ensure that those kind of invoices are paid on time. The portfolio committee instructed the department to present a detailed report on officials responsible for incurring process and wasteful expenditure, the status of consequent management, and the measures that we have implemented. Honorable members, in terms of the PFMA Section 38, the accounting officer of an institution must exercise all reasonable care to prevent and detect unauthorized, irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and must, for that purpose, implement effective and efficient and transparent process for financial and risk management. Section 40, paragraph 4b of the Act requires that when an official of an institution discovers fruitless and wasteful expenditure, that official must immediately report such expenditure to the accounting office, in this case, a department. Such expenditure must also be reported on a monthly report. Irregular expenditure incurred by the department in contravention of tender processes must also be brought to the notice of the relevant procurement authority. In this case, meaning we need to report to Treasury. Section 38.1g of the Act further states that when an accounting officer determines the appropriateness of disciplinary steps against the official, the following must be taken into the account: the circumstances of the transgression, the extent of the expenditure involved, and the nature and seriousness of the transgression. In terms of the National Treasury Regulation 12.915, it prescribes how the department should deal with the recovery of losses or damages resulting from unauthorized, irregular, and fruitless expenditure, and that the amount of the unauthorized and wasteful expenditure must be disclosed as a note in the financial statement of the institution. This should be what I already mentioned in the first slide, that if you compare with the previous financial years, members can see that in the year 13 and 14, fruitless expenditure was 11 million. In 14 and 15, it decreased to 328. In 15 and 16, it decreased to 219. And in 16 and 17, to 492. And the accumulated amount of fruitless expenditure is 12 million. In terms of the remarks, if you look at the year 2013 and 14, 16.7 million was 16.7 million. 6.7 million. It was found that things were going right, were not going right, and a forensic
that there was poor workmanship on the construction and the structure to be incomplete. So that expenditure is recorded in our register for future and expenditure. Furthermore, there is an amount of 1.3 million paid for damages which were towards the building were owned by the public works, and this was after the court order to pay that particular for those damages.
What happened?
There was damages to a building, and the department did not want to pay this particular building, and public works repaired it and claimed the money from the department. And because it's damages or accidental, it's also classified as just as expenditure, because if there was no damages which was not caused by natural causes, it's also classified as a future expenditure. It means that expenses are, if proper care was taken, it could have been avoided.
If there
is
natural causes, then who's responsible for
yeah. So furthermore, in that particular year, 2014, 1 million was paid for breach of contract with the service provider and failure to defend that court case, resulting in the department paying interest on the outstanding amount. Also, 848,000 was spent for bail edit check paid to non-BAT suppliers. $814,000 was also paid to services that were never rendered due to an official being on a suspension for an extended period. In this case, when an official is suspended with pay, that payment of those salaries are also classified as suspension. Also, in that particular, $126,000 deposit was paid to a supplier who was unable to deliver the required goods and could not refund the department. $113,000 was paid to a third party for the government employee pension fund, including interest on behalf of the former employee that never rendered a savings. And finally, $2,000 was paid to an employee who was hired on a higher and incorrect note. In the year, that makes the amount of the 11 million of the year 2013 and 2014. In 14 and 15, $200,000 was paid for cancellation fee for a performance of music artists for the inconvenience caused for that particular group of artists. The artists were grouped and the performance was cancelled. Furthermore, an amount of $83,000 of interest was paid for the Department of Public Works for a rear building rental. And last in that year, $46,000 interest was paid on the liability owing to the government employee pension fund. In the year 2015-16, $124,000 was spent on interest charge for late payment, and $95,000 was for penalties for the PMDA. In the year under review, $147,000 was paid for cancellation of sector consultations towards the social compact. And then $3,000 was paid for catering service that was not cancelled on time. And $13,000 was paid for interest on overdue accounts. And these are the details of the remark that I gave above, where we indicate which employee was involved with those particular transactions.
if you look there, we did not mention the names. We use the personal numbers because the employees are still making the presentation to the department, and if it can be fine, otherwise these employees will come back and report the names of the employee after we have concluded all the representations made by the department. But this is the breakdown of the 11 million of what happened in the year 2015. And then this is the details of the transaction.
Are you saying that there's still a process for 2017 book? There is still a process from 2013-14 in 2017?
Yeah, there is a process that...
Can you outline the process for us?
Yeah, what happened, Chairperson and members, is that this particular item was not necessarily, the department did not put a lot of attention to it because we had a lot of irregular expenditure that the tax team was dealing with. So as a result, this item was not necessarily put on the focus. And currently now we are busy also dealing with the items on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure register. So we had a deadlock, to be quite honest. If you know, our regular expenditure was sitting at 400 million. So the focus was on dealing with those particular transactions. And now we are also looking into these particularities. Yeah. If I proceed, I'll give an update as to where we are.
Okay.
Because some of the items that we are addressing with consequent management include some few items of the year 18 and 14. And this is the list of the 14 and 15. And this is the list of 15 and 16. And finally, this is the list of the current financial year of and 70. So what the department and management have done is that we have written to the relevant officials who are responsible for the incurring of this fruitless expenditure to request the reason why the funds should not recover from them. Because in terms of fruitless expenditure, we say the expenditure was available. If proper care was taken, the department will not have incurred those. So the first approach is to ask from the official why it is not those amounts recovered from them. The due date, as you can see, honorable members, was on the 2nd of November 2017. The responses were reviewed and recommendation made to the accounting officer. As per the next slide. Here I'm just repeating what I said initially, that it must be noted that the names of the responsible officials have not been revealed. This is because they have been given an opportunity to make the presentation. The names will be made available to the portfolio committee once the department has made a final decision on the representation made. It must also be noted that we focus on the irregular expenditure from 2011 and 12, and the process is about to be concluded. This means that the fruitless and wasteful expenditure register can also be attended. The committee looked at the responses received from the officials, and some of the recommendations are as follows. 107,000. Which is for interest paid is to be recovered from the former travel agent of the department. And then 476,000 paid for cancelled venues hired. This amount, it is recommended that it must be written off. The reason being, it was beyond the control of the officials to proceed with the sector consultation without the key stakeholder.
Can you tell us what exactly happened?
consultation where the the department invites the participants in the sector. If it's musicians, there will be a sector discussion for musicians, and the key stakeholders, which sometimes include the minister or the deputy minister, are the ones who need to attend those particular participants. And if they are not there, because this is a platform for the minister to discuss with the sector, those kind of meetings could not take place.
Because the minister was not available.
Yes.
Everybody else was available. So can you give us a picture of at what point was this cancelled today when it was supposed to happen tomorrow, or was it cancelled this morning when it was supposed to take place this afternoon? Can you give us a picture?
Yes. Remember, in terms of the booking of venues, we are given a timeline when to cancel, and most of the events were cancelled on the 11th hour, a day before COVID. Because the venue was booked for the department, then we need to set it. And we find out because of other commitments that our principals have, maybe the three-line week which was they need to attend or other things. Yes. You know. So those things, it is beyond the official who made the booking to say we can recover that money from that particular official.
The problem that I'm having is that everybody else is there, and there is a particular message that is going to be conveyed to these people by whoever, let's say by the minister, and the minister has her speech written, and there are people who can take the discussion and speak back to the minister. And you waste 500 counters, you throw it down the drain, because, I mean, the speech could be given to the DG to reach or whoever. And when he stands there, he was like, look, I am the minister. I'm reading this on behalf of the, whatever I'm going to say here is from the minister. And when you give feedback, you must know that whatever you say is going to be fed back to the minister. But you decide on saying, okay, we are 500,000, right? Half a million. Going down the train. And, okay.
And 3,000 chairperson was for council catering, and the recommendation was the official received a letter of warning. 30,000 interest paid for settlement of telecom account, letter of warning to be issued, and the official requested to make further representation. In terms of the 95,000, also paid to SAR for additional pay as you earn. The official recommendation was to issue a letter for warning, and the official requested to make further representation. In terms of one of the 2014 financial year, the 6.7 million for the cultural precinct, the process is already underway with the assistance of the state attorney to recover the money from the relevant entity. A letter of acknowledgement of debt has been sent to the state attorney to proceed with the matter. And in terms of the official who was paid bail on suspension, it is recommended to the accounting officer to consider a write-off, because the official was on suspension and he was not there necessarily dismissed from the department. What interventions does the department consider to prevent a fruitless and wasteful expenditure? We are saying training on finance for non-financial managers, treasury regulation, and supply chain management will also need to make the officials aware via campaign, by distribution of updated and revised circulars and practice notes, implementation of procedure manual and standard operating procedures, review monthly schedules of recurrent payments, develop a proper plan for annual and special events, and implement consequent management as soon as started. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. And I think, as I'm sitting here, I was thinking that people from 2013, 14, it's only now that they're going to be asked to explain things that happened then. You know? It's not fair. Because I don't even remember what happened during those years. And I think what you are saying in your interventions, I think it's important that immediately it happens, you deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that people will begin to know that if I do anything wrong, I'm going to reap the consequences immediately. So it will really, I think that's really a really answer. Because this is what is lacking, and AG has been crying about this issue of departments not managing consequences properly. But we commend the fact that you are dealing with this issue of progress and making expenses. Because it's something that is totally unacceptable, because the money that is wasted can be of good use to the assets that meet the asset ends of the department. Any spend that you lose, the artists out there are like, yeah, those people, they don't understand our plan. And we really like that to happen. Honorable members, do you have any questions? Honorable Lundy, Honorable Mokonsu, and Honorable Postbom, do you have questions?
That's it. This happens all over, all departments, all places. Individuals sometimes making a bona fide mistake, but sometimes it's really corruption or even makes it difficult to think. My question, I know there's nothing in the answer to that, is do we learn from that? Because that's the idea, that's the sense that we must learn, that it must not be repeated. Now, if the figure is correct, I might be wrong, because there are 216 DGs being moved around, but over the last 5 years, that might be one of our problems. And you need continuity. Officials that learn from the past, make a mistake and don't do it again. And if that's not possible, is there any way to give feedback, even in the department, to say, these are the type of mistakes being made. Please, learn from this and don't get into trouble. Must everybody make his own mistake before we learn? Or can we learn from someone else? Must everybody mean that someone else? Or can we learn from someone else? I'm not sure. I try to get that graphic up and not going down, new people doing the same thing.
I think the timeline for this report is contained in the only 215 junior point time and for much of the new house and the house. And the whole staff, the team of constantly, I think the report for the new team. But my question, sir, is on not the CEO, the CFO. You see, the office of the CFO, I don't know whether are you having a finance and a risk committee in the department. And why I ask the chair, because this committee is where the whole staff directorate will send their budget during the year to say, this is what our, if I think I want to do something, we say this is what I want to do. So my question is to say, didn't you basically this coming, let's take the issue of GPF. The issue of GPF falls under HR, which is the HR manager or the directorate needs to see this coming. We talk about the issues of pensions. So didn't they see this? Because if the managers at DG are sitting in the HR will send in, you know. So with this department, I don't know how does it function because it's very political system. So what is the role of the committee of the department? Taking the is that high detail? The risk controller is supposed to see the risk manager. That is the material. I'm not an auditor, but I know the issues of risk. You see it coming, you say, yes, we are putting them on site, but they didn't see this. The issue of legal team of the department, where are they when this money is moving on like this? You know? The issue of what you have raised, if the minister is not there, the deputy minister is not there, so the department is not functioning. So what is the role of the executive staff in the department? And Chair, as much as there is a critical management on the officials, but it goes back to the senior manager. Everything starts in the I'm an official working in a supply chain. When there's a document to be, the RQS that needs to be signed, it will go via the supervisor, the assistant director, the director, but there will be this final person that the system must go through. So in terms of Department of Arts and Culture, how does it function? How are the public servants representing this? Unfortunately, I was a treasurer. So all these crosses, we know them. They are vetted. You know, they are legislated. There are papers that you need to sign in terms of the requisition forms and everything. And others, they will even direct you to say, if a man is above, the fund is above 500,000, like you must go for a tender. You know, if the money is below, so with this department, what is happening? You know, I ask this story for the DG because what you are reading there, he was not here. But the team that was here need to answer. The question of the disciplinary hearing, a person cannot stay in the department after 3 years. He wants to raise the issue that why you didn't pay the GPF in time. In terms of the basic condition of employment, you are wrong. If I was a short sure at that time, I would be saying you can't even charge my number. Because this matter is safe. Mm. So now we are starting because the committee wants to know the state. Mm. So the department is not doing justice to the South African affair. I feel sorry for all this. We have been explaining each other to school around the train, whereas the people outside are signing off for our team hunger and for employment. You can't even employ people with them that is going in the economy. The same department check. They can't even pay a poor artist in Eastern Cape or somewhere else. You know? So it just going off. That's not good. So I'm not impressed with what it says. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Platform.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I think it's important that we do give credit where credit is due. That is the commending the department from paying back the food system wasteful spending from 11 million to less than a million. I think that is, we need to recognize that. In terms of page 14, 814,000 federal officials suspension to be written off. Now, it is not clear here whether the official was suspended or was that money taken as his salary being paid. So I don't think that money, the term written off, I think it's incorrect unless the official has been fired. But even if he has been fired, it was still part of his salary that was being paid during the suspension period. The second question that is not being answered, that I don't see figuring here, is the one concerning the court cases and the litigation.
partner in fighting. I don't see it featuring in this report. Also, in terms of public entities, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, I know maybe you're still coming to that one, but even if you are still coming to that one, CFO, I see on page 2 that there's still no report on the 20 million that was set aside for the dismissal of officials at Pansau. I think that's Pansau. So there's no report on this yet. Was it part of fruitless and wasteful expenditure? And even those court cases, although it being it will lie on the door of Pansau, the department has to give us some feedback on the report on that, and it's not on this document. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. The department do have a risk committee, which every year during the planning cycle, they look at all the emerging risks and put in and recommend some action plan that each and every unit need to undertake. And some of the action ties together with the audit action plan, because immediately you've got an internal control weakness, it also is a risk. And therefore, there must be a mitigating action in terms of that, and that is how it is addressed. And as you can see that as the years go by, the number of transactions have decreased because of that particular intervention. And that is the role that the committee is playing. On the issue of payment of but let me go back to the issue of the regulatory cultural precinct also, just to touch on that. Because that, because the department was going to monitor the progress on that particular precinct, it was realized that there was a little progress, and hence there was that forensic investigation that was initiated by the department, and it's agreed that this will amount to fruitless and expenditure. It is because of our monitoring and evaluation that we realize that things are not going right in terms of that particular precinct. On the issue of when an official is suspended, in terms of the legislation, he's still going to be receiving his monthly salary. And therefore we are saying, in terms of the accounting principle, if you pay an official on suspension, because he's paid and not doing any work, it is defined as a fruitless expenditure. Because then it will go into our register for that particular period of time whilst he was on suspension. So it is required in terms of the accounting standard to disclose it as such. That is why we disclosed it. And hence, when we reviewed the response from HR to say why they paid the official, we are recommending to the accounting officer to write it off because it was unavoidable, although the fruitless and expenditure. But we need to state it and disclose it that what was the reason for that expenditure? It was payment for the suspended official. On the issue of the one relating to the litigation, it's still those matters which will come back to the committee. We still review the responses from the relevant officials and we will update. As you can see, if you look at the 6.7 plus 8, it does not give you the 11 million. So those items we are still looking back at what is in the representation. Thank you.
Maybe can I just add, Chair, that on the issue, because the committee have always said we must follow money. I remember that one, it was one of the key mandates. So on the project, infrastructure projects like that of Hopeless, what we have agreed to do now to introduce is look at establishing an infrastructure project team that is going to be able to then monitor these projects where we are funding and make sure that either the structure gets up and running or we are able to make sure that the service providers are held accountable rather than to wait until we discover later that the money was spent but there is either no structure or the cost is higher than what it should be. So we are implementing that now so that we can have that particular structure as a project infrastructure office. What we've realized is also there are separate people responsible infrastructure within this department, and we need to be able to work together across the infrastructure teams rather than to have one person there who has no support. And then on the issue of the what have we learned, I think Honorable Muda, we agree with you, but we have started with the process here of also having internal circular that will make sure that people plan in advance. You have a commitment register. And because one of the problems was that some of the people will go to the very SPM, but they come at a short notice. Then you do not adhere to things, they try and they will say deviations and everything. So there is a process that we have looked at to make sure that SPM also is not put under undue pressure. And then on to find that things do not happen. I think that would be the main things for now. I think the Honorable had raised a number of other issues, but I think they are more of putting them on our priority strategies so that we deal with if someone is not available and it's clear that you do cost benefit analysis, you will lose money. What could be the measure to still use the venue rather than to have a payment for unused venues? So I've noted what Honorable have raised. On PEMSEL, I don't know whether you would like to talk to the PEMSEL matter on the 20 million rand. There's another question. Open.
On GPS, any response? Under 2015-2016, 124,000 in terms of the interest charge that happened. Under PAGM, 95,000. Any explanation? And the chair, I think two of them goes to HR. And I would like to say this is the issues of pension that it has. So you can't even default as the GPS. So what is happening?
Thank you, Chairperson. Much as we appreciate that they are reducing the high amount of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, I think they must note the serious concern that you are not happy about the pace in which they are addressing the issues of fruitless and wasteful expenditure and the portfolio quality. They must also bear in mind that it's not their mandate that they must have or they must take it as if it's a law to have that fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The issue of the team that is working on the finances or advising, I don't think they were doing it correctly since as a department they are talking about the money loss from 2011-12, there's a gap of 5 to 6 years in between, which means they were failing to correct it since then. And now, I don't know whether it's page 12 or which page, where they are saying, it's like they are still coming up with a decision or a position to say they are going to deal with it as if they are not implementing it now. I can't remember whether it's page 14, 8 or 7, I can't remember. To me, it's like the person who is dealing with this, it's only one office. But according to my understanding, there are different offices that deal with this. Because if there is supply chain, there is a committee, a finance committee that deals with it. They should have also picked it up and deal with it, unlike each and every year. They will be seen to be still trying to correct one issue. I think they must check something is not right in the department. Another thing, I think in quarterly basis, AGSA is advising. And besides that, each and every department, I think they have their internal audit. And the duty or the work of the internal audit is to advise. And after the advice, what is it that they are doing? Since they are telling us that they are correcting now, after 5 or 6 years. After the findings of the ADs and the findings of the internal audit, what is it that they were doing? Were they failing to implement or they were not implementing at all? What was the opinion?
Thank you, Honourable Member. Any other follow-up? That is in the answer, no response to the issues that are being
considered. Thank you, Chair. I think I will focus on PENSUP. I think Honourable Ford Boom asked a question around PENSUP, about the 20 million rand that was given to PENSUP for settling. The cost of dismissed employees. Yes, Honourable Program, that will actually fall under the category of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, because again, you pay for services that have not been rendered, or lack of a better word. But now, again, there are some employees of those that were dismissed who have settled with PENSUP. So there is a cost that has been incurred to date. I think it's around, I'll give you the definite figure, but I think it's about 6 million rand or close around 8 million rand. So there is that amount which we have to now qualify it as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. But then there's still the balance of 12 million rand, which is basically to settle the outstanding employees who have not yet settled with PENSUP. And that process is still ongoing. So, but we have prepared a separate report, Honourable Chair, for public entities where we have outlined all fruitless and wasteful expenditure relating to public entities also. So it sort of adds on to what the department has presented to this committee.
Thank you. And the other matters raised?
Included in the interest is an amount that relates to the late payment to the GEPF. Because what happens is that when an employee goes to pension, and then in terms of the calculation of the pension payout, you sometimes find that the department needs to refund GEPF because they will pay everything to the particular employee, they will not disadvantage him or her. But then they will have to recover the difference from the department. And if the department delays, because if they issue the invoice today, within 30 days, you must make a payment. So that delay costs us to attract interest from that particular payment. and the other interest included in that amount of 124 is interest which was due to the late payment of the building rental. And hence we are saying, in terms of consequent management, why shouldn't officials see with an invoice that needs to be settled within 30 days? So those are the issues. On the issue of the penalty for the pay as you earn, also the receipt of revenue operates with scheduled date to say the pay as you earn that we collect from the salary of the employee must be paid by the 7th day of the next month. Immediately you skip that, you're going to pay a penalty for that particular month. And those are the issues that we are dealing with.
I think the essence of the question is how are we going to prevent this thing and what happens, because we need to identify root cause analysis. Because if we don't deal with that, people are going to do it again and we attract another interest. And that is, I think, the essence of honorable Nkosi's question. And it's what we, as part of our observation plan, just to make sure that we monitor that we do not attract another interest. And then there was a question that then she had raised about consequence management, that it should cut across the organization, not just for those at the lower level. So I'm taking into account what has been raised. Those measures will definitely be in place and monitor that we do honor those payments in time. In fact, the department has just gotten the invoice tracking mechanism. We must just see how we can use some of these things that need payments to be tracked so that they are done in time.
And I think you do have IYM where you actually see that there are these invoices that have not been paid. I mean, it's important to follow up on issues that the department and the really, you don't need to come to the portfolio committee to see if what's been done. So we are actually, as Honorable Nelson said earlier, that it's only a fool who learns from the young mistakes. Clever people learn from other people's mistakes, and they just tell themselves that I am not going to make this mistake. So I think it's important. But what I think is encouraging is the fact that you've started doing this. And this is a strong message to the officials of the department that you will not get away with this matter. Because even waiting a rent is never in this situation that we are waiting for. So I think it's important for the department to ensure that people are assisted to do what they're supposed to do. But if they fail to do that, even with the assistance, then you take measures. I think that's very important. I've looked at this document this information from the entities, and I've noted that there are entities that have not submitted the information that is needed. And without asking for the reason why, your entities do not respond to your request timely, but I think it's saying something about entities, and I think you need to take note of that. Because the information that is there already, they just need to go and retrieve it and give it to you. Why are they not? So I think you need to really go back to those entities and ensure that when you request information from them, they give it to you as soon as yes, that is important. But honorable members, I would suggest that we don't discuss this information until we have, information from all the entities. And also, unless there are any issues.
issues that members would like to raise from the settlement. And also with the non-entities, looking at the information that we're given, I think it's good information is given to take. But I think it would be more beneficial if we have an entity here, because there are questions that not entity, but this institution that we are giving money. It would be good for us to get the to call the institution in so that you give us the overview and so that the questions will go straight to the institution. And in saying that, I would like to, why is the moral regeneration not part of the institutions that are outlined here? Is it there? Is it here? I didn't see it. Moral regeneration. Why is it? Because they're giving money to that institution. Why is it not an institution that is being given money? I don't know whether it's an oversight or you feel that now money is just coming on for it doesn't yet. Or whatever. Because it's not here.
Maybe clar- I think that that's giving us now more clarity on what is requested by the committee, because that's basically, maybe I'm asking the question, do you want us to provide you information of all the NPOs that are funded by the
committee? What we need is you to give us, because at the time, if you remember, we were saying 80% of your budget goes to NPOs. And you saw, you were saying it's not only entities, but there are other institutions that start to finance again. Younger money, meaning abanyabantu, other entities. That's why we have non-entities. Those people that you give money to, but they are not your entities. Just clear as that. Put that here. So this is what we need.
Chair, I would also like to have seen FARA also here. As a non-entity, as definitely more regeneration, or is it class specified differently?
Do you want to respond to that?
No.
Okay, it's that institution that you give money. Because we want people to account when they are given taxpayers' money, people must account. So, another example, I think those are the those two documents, we will get the presentation in our next, in another meeting, which I will guide us about how the program is going on this matter. But we, are there any questions? I think what we need to do then is to thank you for the information. And it's important, you know, the presentations are getting more organized. They're giving us what we want, and it's giving us hope that by the end of the term, it's a pity that the term will end, we will be understanding each other. And all of a sudden we'll be having to learn what other people want. That's the sad part. But we are beginning to understand each other and what we want and how we want it. And there is a lot of improvement in the manner in which you craft your document and in the manner in which you give us information. And I think you need to ensure that you keep it that way. And do the right thing. First time, please, don't give us a document today and 2 days down the line you want to change the document. Apply your mind when you're crafting this document. And by now, I think you do have an idea of what you are going to ask. You just put yourself in this chair and you say, in this chair, and you know what these people are going to ask, you know. So I think this is very important and keep improving. Because it's not, as I always say, it's not to make us happy. It's not about us, but it's about the people that we are serving.
keep on improving. And at the end of the day, we want the department to succeed, as we always say, if you succeed as the department. In fact, if your entity, 80% of the budget succeeds, it means automatically you succeed and the whole society will succeed. We thank you very much for availing yourselves and for giving us the responses, and we urge you to just go back and do whatever you're supposed to do, send it to Jabu immediately. And we will send questions. What happened to the AU answer? Because we were in control, and that in that event, there was no AU answer. And as far as I remember, it was said that this should go together. Our national anthem and the AU anthem should go together. We sing the AU first and then our own national anthem. But it's no, it we've lost it. We must go and find it. We must find a way of going out there to find it, because both identity and native. Thank you very much. And can you are a committed department.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.